The following preview is of a graphic audio production rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
We must reach the church before the ceremony is done, and it has recruited another soldier to his army of the plague.
Plague?
Okashnik bring disease. He bring plague. He bring the Black Death. Only those who bear his mark are immune to it. They are his beasts.
The bayous of Louisiana, steeped in magic and the supernatural, are the new epicenter of a dark, age-old evil. Here, the horrors of a long-lost world are being resurrected into a living nightmare, unleashing a pestilence that may destroy hybrid and human alike.
A virulent disease is sweeping through my territories. If it spreads outward with our diminished autoimmune systems and this treatment facility in ruins, the Nine Barons will perish. We of the Hybrid Dynasty are doomed if we do not seek outside aid. If necessary, we must circumvent the oligarchy altogether and find other allies.
It's the Black Death. Sure enough.
You've got the plague.
All of us have it. But it won't kill us.
Why not?
Okashnik kissed us. Immunized us.
You want to explain me? Is that it? And therefore diminish what I am? Or what you fear me to be?
And what is that?
A vampire.
He is Okashnik, a creature who has never died. He woos all the darkness within the human soul like a lover. He is the king of the shadowy hordes that revel among the tombs of the ancient dead when night veils the swamps and the rats crawl among the offal. Those he kisses live forevermore in the darkness of the spirit.
Kiss me and live forever.
Kane, Grant, and Bridget Baptiste join with a voodoo priestess to battle primordial fear and destroy one of the most ancient of evils in Outlanders number 13, Shadow Scourge. Now in graphic audio.
And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Previously in Deathlands.
The Countess was backed against the raw face of the cliff, trembling, her fingers knotted into the flimsy wire fence, her weight against it, making it sway back and forth. Ryan faced her, blocking the exit back toward the Ville, his spine touching the rusting supports. Behind him was the steep incline of hundreds of feet, sliding down to a sheer drop of 100 feet to the foaming water below.
You didn't have to butcher them all! You only needed me!
No! Listen to me! It was strong! It was...
She was down against the rocks, the back of her head cut and bleeding, her bright eyes half closed for a moment.
Get the fuck up, bitch! I'm gonna beat you to a bloody pulp, and then drop you over the edge. One way, all the way down. Then strong.
Her eyes blinked open as Ryan stooped and swung her up. He balanced her while he measured the next punch.
Ryan!
Ryan started to turn, disbelief stark on his face, his mouth sagging open. He blinked through the driving rain, seeing a blurred vision of a tall woman with a shock of bright, fiery hair. Another figure with hair like snow was at her side. Three others were farther back, staring at him.
Christy?
The rush of knowledge paralyzed him for a moment. Katja Bosalé pushed against Ryan with all her failing strength, catching him off balance, pushing him hard into the frail fencing.
Ryan
pushed the body of the Countess away from him, and she tumbled head first down the steep slope of treacherous mud. And Ryan followed. His fingers reached and grasped for any sort of grip, but failed. He glimpsed the white dress below him, tumbling over the last sheer brink and vanishing. Ryan reached the edge himself, skidding over, hopelessly out of control. The icy raging torrent struggled to hold him underwater. The force of the current was unimaginable, filled with sucking maelstroms and murderous smooth boulders. Ryan was drawn under once more into the swirling darkness. Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Christopher Graybill, Nanette Savard, James Lewis, Thomas Penny, Michael John Casey, Andy Clements, Michael Glenn, Ken Jackson, Elliot Dash, Elizabeth Demery, Kate Torrey, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands number 33, Eclipse at Noon. Christy Roth stood and stared blankly into the gaping space, spray pasting her fiery hair across her forehead, her bright emerald eyes dull and lifeless. Her fingers gripped the rusting remains of the security fence that ringed the crumbling viewing platform above the abyss.
Ryan.
The two tiny figures were spinning, vanishing and rising again in the turbulent water of the racing river, moving at incredible speed between the sheer walls of wet rock. John Barrymore Dix, the armorer, stood by her elbow, pushing back his fedora.
Maybe he can stay up.
No. No way Ryan make it down there alive. Not after that long fall.
Jack Lauren's red eyes glowed in the gloomy half-light, like burning rubies. His torrent of snowy hair dripped across his scrawny shoulders. His face, pale beyond belief, stared out over the steep ravine Ryan had tumbled over while fighting the Countess. Mildred Wyatt, the stocky black doctor of the group, had one arm resting lightly around Christie's waist, comforting her. The right hand was on the butt of her checked target revolver, but there was nobody left to shoot. The last member of the group, Doc Tanner, had witnessed the last scene of the dreadful drama from farther away, blinking through his watery blue eyes at the fight and the fall. Now he stood stricken, his hands clasped in mute prayer in front of him, the ebony swordstick glistening, its ferrule resting on the soaking concrete.
I wonder whether we should not be trying to convey ourselves down the stream, following it along until we can do something to recover the body of our dear, dear friend.
Christy turned slowly to face him, seeing the tears that clung to his lined cheeks, and felt the first numbing awareness that Ryan was probably dead.
He's gone, Doc. Never be able to find the body.
Look far along, Christy. Seems that the cliffs get lower. You're not right leaving Ryan to vultures and coyotes. The rest of you stay if you want. I'm gonna try to find him. You'd have done it for me.
You're right.
They left the huge mansion behind them and set off along the windswept barren rocks, moving westward, following the line of the river. A watery sun peeked through ragged strips of dark purple clouds, barely bright enough to cast a weak shadow behind the friends. They picked their way, slowly climbing lower toward the river. They spotted the woman's corpse in a vicious backwash under a jagged fall of 20 or 30 feet, where the water stripped away the tattered remnants of her clothes, leaving the corpse pink and dappled with blood, then as white as a windwashed bone. Finally, the river let the body go, washing it farther away at dashing speed until it vanished as the gorge curved toward the north. Ryan's body had long vanished. Evening was closing in. J.B. eased the Smith & Wesson M4000 scattergun on his shoulder.
Take five, people.
Jack was carrying Ryan's rifle on his back, the Steyr SSG-70 bolt-action, 10-round, 7.62mm hunting weapon. Though their exit from the villa had been close to the edge of panic, everyone had their clothes and weapons. Christy sat and leaned against a stunted pinion a few paces from the edge of the drop.